This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Wildcat Golf Club on Almeda. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Second hour of the show. It's the three-hour extravaganza we like to call The Usual Suspects or The Big Show. It's Barry and Joel coming to you from the Hit King Baseball Academy Gala and Golf Tournament at Wildcat. Great facility, great event. We had Tony Perez on earlier, the Hall of Famer. If you missed him, check the podcast out. Nick back at the station keeping us on the air. We were talking Rockets as we got into the end of hour number one and started breaking it down a little bit. But you had some things you wanted to get to, Barry, as we proceeded and went
forward.
Yeah,
real quick, Pink Valkyrie on Twitter said, I just don't understand the inconsistency for each game. You can't say they weren't rested, so how do they drastically roller coaster each game? And, I mean, I know that the NBA – it's a great point because I know the NBA is a game of adjustments, but damn. You went from a decently played game, even though they were outplayed in game one. It was tied at half. They couldn't get anything going offensively, and they struggled a little bit in the second half. But overall, it was mildly competitive. I wouldn't say great game, but it was mildly competitive. But then game two was a blowout. Game three was a blowout on the other end of the spectrum. And it's just kind of weird. But my question going to the break for you guys, you too, Nick, and on Twitter or text 713-780-3776, can you be a championship team? Can you win a title having lost a playoff game by 41 points? Is that even possible?
Go ahead, Nick.
I don't think that's ever happened. I'd have to look back, but it certainly would be a huge anomaly if it ever did. Usually when you lose by 40 points, it just means that the team that you faced is definitively better than you. And so if you're forcing me to go with a yes or a no, I would have to go with a no. Because usually when you get beat that bad, that means the team is definitively better than you. And it's just embarrassing to see in the playoffs. That's just terrible.
I think you can. But I think that in this particular instance, I don't think that you will. I think that because of what we talked about with the Curry shoulder shake, the Draymond Green shoved James Harden, and the fact that from a coaching perspective, you don't let it get to that point. In most cases, though everybody's a little disappointed, and everybody said, wait till the playoffs. The NBA playoffs are going to be great. There's going to be all these close games. It's going to be, well, really to this point, it hasn't been. And in your conference finals, every game has been pretty much a blowout, and that's disappointing. But at the same time, blowout is constituted in the playoffs by about a 20-point thing, not a 41-point thing. And you think about in Rockets history, the ones that stick out in my mind as the only losses that come close to this. Game 6 last year with Kawhi not playing when you completely crap the bed and Harden disappears. And then Game 7 against the Mavericks, when you win Games 1 and 2 in Dallas, take a commanding lead in that series, get down to a Game 7, everybody thinks it's going to be just this knockdown, drag-out, heavyweight fight, and you get absolutely blown off the court by 30-some points. Those are the kind of losses that I equate the one last night with, because there was a whole lot of quit in this team. I saw James Harden completely disappear and just have a whole bunch of I don't want to. I saw the looks in a lot of guys' eyes like, I just want to go home and curl up with my whoobie instead of, sending a message for game four that, hey, look, you may have gotten us tonight and it was the first game in your building with the crowd and everything else, but you still got plenty that we're going to play for and you're going to have to fight your ass off to get through this. I didn't see that. I saw a lot of guys that were like, oh, I'm not making my shots. This isn't our night. And that, at this point in the season, if that's the kind of body language, if that's the kind of results, and to your point, and that's the kind of defeat you're taking, I just don't know how you bounce back from that.
Yeah, I mean, to answer the question on the 41 points first, I don't think you can. I don't think you can lose a playoff game by 41 points. They were just decimated. They looked like, I mean, they didn't even score 90 points. That's when I feel like you look at that and you say, that to me says that is the better team. A win by 20-25, there was some garbage time at the end there. But to go out and lose by 41 points, I'm not saying the Rockets won't win another game. Mm-hmm. Okay. Right. I don't think the Rockets are winning the series, and I still don't. But I think the Rockets will still win another game. I'm sticking with Warriors
in
six. But I don't think that – you'll never see the Warriors go out and lose by 41 and then win a championship.
But I was
That's my
ask
point.
You that.
No team is going to win a title and lose a playoff game by 41 points.
In my opinion, the team that could do this is Golden State. Because they've been there, done that, and they know, like Kerr said, when their backs are against the wall, they come out with a different mentality. They play a different way. I think a seasoned, veteran, experienced, championship pedigree team could do something like this. I don't see any of those characteristics in this year's Rockets team.
And you think a team like that would lose by 41?
I think a Golden State team could lose by 41 and still come back and win a series because they know – They're one of the few rarities that have actually proved that it works, too. They believe they're one of those teams, just like the regular season didn't matter at the end of the year. But they believe when they flip that switch that they can do things that no other team can do. And therefore, I could see a Warriors team doing something like that. They could be that bad, though I don't think it would ever get to that point. But that kind of team, 1 through 12, is the team that I think could do it with that coaching staff. I saw so much quit. That I'm not sure, Barry. I said Rockets will lose in six games in this series. I said Warriors in six. I looked at your leader unequivocally is James Harden because he's been there longer, I guess. But Chris Paul is not the kind of guy that would let this happen. But it looks like James has got more of an influence than Chris Paul
than
does.
The other way.
Because everybody looks like they followed the leader and said, we're done. We're it's gone. Like, we're going
it's
home.
It's like Ron White once said, that boy's got a lot of quit in him.
No doubt.
And I think that it's more than just Harden in that regard. Now, I will say this. Their shots weren't falling from behind the three-point line, but they also weren't making layups, which is a recipe for disaster against a team as good as Golden State, especially a team that gets the kind of contribution that they got from Steph Curry, who was missing the first two games. So
missing in the first half. He missed six of his first seven threes.
And here's the scary part, too, is you got thumped, gave up 126 to the Warriors, and Klay Thompson didn't have his best game.
Nope.
He only put in for 13. So there was still room for improvement with the Warriors. And the Rockets, obviously, I mean, there's nowhere to go but up after that game. Now, I think it's funny because I saw a guy like tweet something to Barkley and said, oh, so now Barkley's going to change his tune and say that the Rockets are done and then the Rockets will win game four and then the cycle will start all over again. I don't know how you can watch this team and see how they've sputtered and think that I mean, maybe so. Here's the beauty of the NBA, though. This is the beauty of the NBA, and I think it's something that you and I forget. I think it's something that fans forget. I think it's something that all the talking heads and sports talk radio and TV forget, is that the mindset has to be, and the mindset can be, it was just one game. Whether you lose by one or 41, that doesn't matter. A loss is a loss, and fortunately, none of that has to carry over into game four. It's not like the Warriors get to go out and start with a 41-point lead. That doesn't happen. It starts off 0-0. So you hope that those guys are mentally tough enough to think that way. But I'm with you. Looking at the body language and everything else, you just look like they're like, well, we're done.
What you just said is exactly just why felt. I think Golden State could come is the one of those very rare exceptions that could come back from a 41-point loss because they could say it's just one game. But here's the thing. That was on the road. At a place where they just set the record for most consecutive victories without a loss in a playoff run. I think it's 16 or 17 in a row now for Golden State. You lost home court, which means you've got to win one there. Mm-hmm. And if you don't win it tomorrow night, then you got to do it in game six. And you also have to beat this team that's been through this much three straight times if you lose tomorrow night.
Right.
I'm afraid that they're going to fold up those tents and go home, even with a home game on the horizon or possibly two, because of just what I saw from body language and just even the quotes and the things. Mike D'Antoni coming out and saying, your team is soft. As
he
a coaching
that?
Staff, right after the game.
He said
we were soft.
We were
soft.
They were?
They were, right, but at the same time, that's kind of on you, too. If you see a guy that, like Luke Mbamute, gets punked at the rim, sits on his – not only sit him down, but make an example. Get someone in there and say, and I'm going to send the message to everybody else on the team. If you're not going to give me maximum effort, you're going to sit down, too.
Yeah, but I don't know if you can do that in a playoff game. You know what I mean? Even if you're down by 20, you still have to be able to put forth an effort. I mean, there are a lot of fans that are going to be
and they didn't.
Irate if they don't, you know, if you don't at least put forth some effort. But we got texts and tweets that I'll get to on the other side as well. Right now, though, if you own a house, you need to listen to me. Listen to my voice and listen closely. This is very important. If you own a home and you have an air conditioning, and let's face it, if you own a home, you probably do. R22 Freon is going away. And you're like, what does that mean, Barry? I'm not an AC guy. Neither am I, but just know it's important. R22 Freon is the magic behind keeping your AC cool. And they're phasing that out because it's not great for our environment. That also means that if your AC unit hasn't already moved past using R22 Freon, at some point in the next couple of years, you're going to have to make a decision. Now, what I hope doesn't happen is that you ignore me and you ignore this message, and then 2 years from now, it quits in the middle of a hot summer and you're stuck. I don't want that to happen to you. So I want you to call Courtesy Air Conditioning right now. 713-278-9933 is the number. 713-278-9933. Call my guys over there. Call Tom, Brad, and they're going to send out one of their certified techs, and they're going to check your system out, and they're going to say, hey, look, you don't need a new system. You can just do an upgrade and save you some money there. Or maybe you do have to get a new system. It's so old that you can't upgrade it. Either way, they're going to let you know. Whatever the outcome is, they're going to save you money. That's why I love dealing with Courtesy AC. They're not the kind of guys that are just going to try to sell you whatever to make a buck. They don't do that. You don't stay in business for 30 years in the Houston area by doing that. They've got a great reputation, so you need to get them out there and let them check out your system today. 713-278-9933 is the number. And maybe your unit is already new and you don't need a new AC unit or an upgrade. Have them come out and service your air conditioning unit for the summer so that it's ready to go for another brutal Houston summer. Call today. 713-278-9933 is the number for Courtesy AC, or check them out online, courtesyaconline.com. Chill.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Wildcat Golf Club on Almeda. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back! Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5, coming to you live from Wildcat Golf Club. Right here by NRG Stadium off Almeda. It is the home of the Hit King Baseball Golf Tournament Gala extraordinaire. Pete Rose is here, George Foster, Tony Perez, all from the Big Red Machine. If you want information, they are opening up the Hit King Baseball Academy in Katy. If your youngster is a baseball player and wants some of the best instruction out there, they're getting close to opening. Check out hitkingbaseball.com. Before the break and when we got into sports discussion, of course, top of mind with everybody is this Rockets team. What happened last night? Do they still have a chance in the series? We were going back and forth. Before we get to anything else, text messages or otherwise, let's get White Magic in here. Friend of the show wants to get in here and talk a little Rockets. What's up, man?
Hey, what's going on, gentlemen?
What up?
Hey, two things. First thing, look, James Harden was just tired, okay? We were all up early watching the royal wedding on Saturday. His sleep pattern is messed up. He's just tired, okay? Lay off of it. All right? Second thing, is Jerry Sloan our generation's – I mean, I'm sorry, is Mike D'Antoni our generation's Jerry Sloan? Great teams. He's had a couple great teams, just can never get over the hump. I'll hang up and listen.
It's not a bad comparison, to be honest with you.
Thanks, White Magic. I always appreciate it.
Yeah.
It's not bad. You know, never got – but here's the thing. At least Jerry Sloan got to a finals.
Yeah, Mike D'Antoni's been to the West Conference Finals with the Suns.
Never gotten past a conference finals, regardless of where he was, East or West.
Yeah.
So that's the problem. And in terms of the James Harden thing, and I know we joke, but here's the thing. Everybody said, well, you're not going to get playoff James because of the fact that he's had some big games. But let's look at when he had those big games. His 40-plus point explosions, game one against Minnesota, game one against Utah. Game one was big against game two was great against Golden State, but, you know, he – early in series, but as we get deeper in series and the series get more important, that's when you start seeing a different James Harden. It just frustrates me that this guy has done so much to try and reverse the criticisms of his legacy. And it's rare. And Rockets fans, as critical as you could be about James Harden, you have to figure out in your head of heads how rare it is to see a guy that for three of the last 4 years has been either the – should have gotten the MVP, but is in the top two of the discussion for MVP and will win the MVP. You just don't get those every day. But, again, I say this all the time, and everybody's like, well, that's cliche-ish. But you know what? It's the truth. And that is You can build a reputation in the regular season, but legacies are built in the playoffs. And his playoff legacy right now is not good. And though everybody said because he scored the 40-plus points a couple times, he erased it, he did nothing of the sort. He just delayed it.
Yeah, I don't think you can erase anything until you win.
Right.
You have to get to at least get to a finals and not as a sixth
man on
the team.
Yeah, I was going to say, don't give me that OKC stuff when you're leading your team and you want to be the man.
A couple of texts and tweets, and then I want to talk Astros for a minute because we got to give them some run as well. Mm-hmm. I'm tired of talking Rockets. These guys.
Well, then, okay.
We can table it for later if you want. Somebody said Curry comes off as a front runner and a phony. Do you kind of feel that way?
Can I tell you something?
No.
Let me just say this. When you're a choir boy, when you're constantly preaching the gospel, mm-hmm. when you're constantly doing the pointing to above, and then all of a sudden because you break out of a mini slump and you say, this is my effing house, come on, man. Which look are you going for? And then to follow it up in the post game by saying, my mom said to me twice I should wash my mouth out with soap. Okay, Mr. Clean, which one is it?
That's disgusting. Did Barry say he likes sensual hugs after shows? No?
Yes.
They were asking me, not you.
Oh.
They were asking
did
me.
I say that you like? See, Nick agrees
with
me. Yeah,
but you guys, you don't speak for me.
Mark Schell has a T-shirt.
Pacers beat the Lakers by 30 and still won a title. That's not 41. That wasn't the question. It wasn't 30. It was 41. Can you lose by 41 and win a title? That was the question. Jesse from Spring said, Rockets will win in 7 after being down 3-1, and next year they'll sign KD and win back-to-back. All right. So Jesse's stoned. That's good to know.
Jesse, if you have money in your pockets you want to burn on that, you should. There's a lot of people that are clamoring to get to you right now. Just let them know how to reach you.
Here's one from Lenny. He said, 110-77, Golden State over Cleveland, game 2, 2016. Finals eventually won by the Cavs, so it can be done.
There you go. That's good. That's good proof right there. That's legit.
That's 30.
I knew you were going to add it up. I knew it.
That's 33, not 41.
That's a technicality, Lenny. You're out.
That's 33, not 41. The question wasn't 30, 33. It was 41.
Nick's giving you the buzzer.
41.
No, I actually looked it up. There was one in 2014, but it's not the same Warriors team. They did lose by 40, but they didn't win the series. They didn't even get past the first round. They lost to the Clippers.
Thank you. So, thank you very much.
But I was trying to find something like that, too. It didn't work.
So you did this just to toy with the emotions of the listeners so you could crap on them at the end.
No.
That's what you did.
No. Carlos said, Barry, let me remind you fools, Golden State lost the championship up 3-1, and Houston sat their starters early in the fourth, hence the 41-point loss. Golden State lost by 22, but it was a scrub time. They hit some BS late-minute shots. Otherwise, they lose by 31. Also, outside of Durant, Rockets have held everyone at bay. Curry's had one good 18-point quarter. Don't be a biatch. I'll just say that. He said something else.
Well, Curry shattered. Word. He shattered anything, any of the talk that says, I'm still trying to struggle. I'm still struggling coming off that injury. He's just Steph Curry, and he's going to eventually get his like Kevin Durant. It just took two games.
Yep. Jerry said, you want to know what else is being phased out besides Freon? The talk of a Rockets championship.
Well, at least there's someone that has some honesty. My God, I thought for sure the Kool-Aid drinkers would be pushing away from the table after what we saw last night. But there are still some people so hyper-defensive about this team. It's like, look at the reality of what's on the court before you start trying to defend it. Because at a certain point, how much can you defend a team that had that much quit in them?
Did you watch the other game?
The Cleveland?
I didn't get to watch that.
I did.
I didn't get to watch it.
Yep.
Did I miss anything? It looked like a blowout.
I mean,
pretty boring.
One of the things that people don't realize with LeBron about being as good a player as he is, it's not just about the points he scores. He's at his best when he's facilitating to get other people involved. And, again, Cleveland's first game at home, and, you know, it's a must-win for them. They did what they were supposed to do, and I honestly fully expect them to be back in this series and do it again tonight. But, you know, Terry Rozier coming out saying, we needed that. We needed a butt-kicking. I don't know if anybody needs a butt-kicking that big, do you?
No. Yeah, if you need a butt kicking, maybe the playoffs ain't your thing. Because you hear that a lot where then the Rockets say, or the Golden State Warriors say, we needed that wake-up call. I mean, I think that's just talk. That's just hype. If you need a wake-up call, you have no business being in the playoffs.
Totally agree with that. So we'll see what happens tonight, but that could be a series that's dictated by home court. And, again, that might be the one where the series really doesn't start till someone wins on the other's floor and see how far it goes.
Well, I'm sticking to mine. Who did you have? You had Cavs, right?
I had Cavs. Yeah, the Cavs, yep.
So I'm feeling pretty good about my two picks at this point.
Okay.
Cavs and Celtics in 6 and Warriors in 6. feeling pretty good.
I think we both feel good about the Warriors pick, if not sooner.
Yeah, Nick, how you feeling about your Rockets pick? You feeling
good? Series ain't over. Series ain't over.
Okay.
But how are you feeling, Nick? That's the bigger thing.
I feel fantastic. I had like 13 beers
watching
the game.
I don't care about how you're feeling when you're sitting on the couch playing with the dog, checking out what else is going on. How are you feeling about your Rockets?
It doesn't look good, man. It does not look good at all. At all.
You know what, though? I appreciate that because you not only represent this show and Sports Talk Radio, but you're a very passionate fan. And so it's good to get – I mean, I love the Rockets, don't get me wrong, but I don't think I'm as passionate as you are. Because you said you were visibly pissed off at a loss at a game.
Yeah. And like, I mean, I just – for me,
uncontrollable rage, like the Hulk, like you were about to Hulk out. You were about to Nick out, right? And so – it's good to get that perspective from a fan.
Hulk! Smash!
It's good, though. It's good to get your perspective because you represent Sports Talk Radio, but you also represent a lot of the fans
Nick,
out there.
You're the realist in this. Yeah. I mean, as much as you picked them and everything else, you're a realist enough to realize it doesn't look good based on what you've seen, as opposed to all these people that want to make excuses for a team that just got hammered by 41 points.
Well, and the dynamic is Nick is a diehard, passionate fan. You hate the Rockets, and I'm apathetic.
Not true at all. Not true at all. I can tell you a couple guys I do hate over there, but they don't put a uniform on, so that's okay. Right now, I want to tell you about my good friends at Gallery Furniture. I've been telling you about them for a long time. Talk about mainstays in the Houston community. Mattress Mac and his staff always trying to do what's best for the Houston community. And, of course, when you're looking for furniture, he wants you to come to them and make sure you get great prices on quality furniture. It's going to last a lifetime at very convenient locations. There's three locations to serve you. Grand Parkway between Katy and Sugarland, the Galleria on Post Oak, and I-45 North exit Tidwell Parker both ways. Any of the three locations, same deals, same quality customer service, same way that they're going to go out of their way to make sure you're happy at the end of the day. That means you buy today, you get tonight. There's no exceptions. You buy, and within 3 to 4 hours, the furniture arrives at your door. There's no back order slips, so therefore what you see is what you get, not what you see is what you're going to get in a couple of weeks to a month. You're going to get it that same day. The prices are fair. You're going to save money, but it's quality American-made brands like Stickley, leather and upholstered furniture that is going to be delivered to your door. And when the delivery people show up, just like the finance people that are going to work with you on a payment plan that works the best, delivery people are going to ask, you want furniture rearranged, taken away, moved around when we bring this new furniture in? They do these kind of things because they want you to think Gallery and come back anytime you need anything for your house in the area of furniture. So check them out at one of the three locations. Make sure you tell them Joel Blank sent you by. And remember, Gallery Furniture really will save you money.
ESPN 97.5.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from Wildcat Golf Club on Almeda, this is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, it's Barry. Nick, Joel, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Barry and I are out here at Wildcat Golf Club for the Hit King Baseball Academy Golf and Gala. Pete Rose, George Foster, Tony Perez. Great facility out here at Wildcat. Everybody having a good time. They're all on the golf course after a little bit of a weather delay. Spent a good portion of time after interviewing Tony Perez in hour number one, talking about the Rockets. Still have a lot to get to with the Astros. Practice just breaking for both squads out in the Bay Area. Word out of Warriors practice, Andre Iguodala, doubtful. Knee soreness, bumped knees with about 6 minutes left on Sunday. I don't really think that's big-time news if you're a Rockets fan. And stop wishing for injuries. There's so much more to fix before you get to that.
Yeah.
Now, I'll tell you what. Before we switch gears, I do want to get one quick response from both of you guys because I wrote about this. And people were giving me heat a little bit. So far, the adjustments the coaching staff have made, right? Little risk, little reward. They haven't really done a whole lot of tweaking.
Okay.
I suggested drastic times cause for drastic measures. I think that they should start the smaller lineup. I think inserting Eric Gordon, who sometimes has a tough time getting started, getting his touches, he's complained about all those things. And this is going to be big for you, Nick. I suggested taking Capella out to giving yourself another offensive weapon like Eric Gordon. So therefore, you're really not killed because the Warriors are still going small enough that the matchups can still be decent and okay. but you're giving yourself more of a chance offensively, because when you look at just the starters, five in double figures for the Warriors, in big-time numbers, three for the Rockets. Chris Paul's double figures was mostly after the game was decided. I thought that that would give the Rockets a chance to shake it up, get one of their guys that's been hot and cold a chance to get hot, give you better three-point shooting, and maybe a chance for more offense early. Your guys' thoughts?
I mean, I don't think Eric Gordon is doing well coming off the bench. I don't see why – I don't know why you would expect him to do any better starting the game than he does.
Because he gets a sweat, he gets in the game, he gets in the flow.
I don't know. I don't know if that's going to be enough. Isn't that what warm-ups are for? I mean,
well, obviously not working.
To me, it's actually would make it worse, because now if you're talking about taking Capella out and going small, who the hell is going to guard Durant? Because at least on some of those switch-offs, Capella puts a hand in Durant's face, and he's missed some shots when Capella's been on him.
Yeah, otherwise, he's not spending that much time on Durant.
But he's not missing much. Well, but at least you get you cause a few misses here and there with him on the floor with Durant. Plus that, then you've got an awkward lineup coming in that second rotation where you're going to have Capella out there running with the twos.
But you're not subbing the whole – and again.
Well, but he's going to come in. I don't know that I would do it.
Okay.
But that's just
Nick.
Me.
I'm not opposed to a drastic change in lineup. I'm not, because when you come off of a 40-point loss, you really have to think about some changes. I didn't think of it that way, where you didn't put Clint. I was thinking kind of like the lineup that I guess other people, like Kelly Eco was referring to. Is it Tucker, Capella, Gordon,
five.
Harden, and Paul? But yeah, I mean, taking if you're taking Capella out, it's not that big a deal, because I don't look at not having a tall enough person on Durant as big as a problem as most. Only because I feel like Durant will probably get his anyway, even if Capella or was on him or somebody else. So I'm not opposed to a drastic change in a lineup. If it's a desperate situation like Joel's talking about, I don't see why not.
Well, the other thing to me too, though, is I don't think there's a need for a drastic change. Your guys have to play their role and make their shots. And they didn't do that in game one. They didn't do that in game three. They did it in game two. Ariza made his shots. Tucker made his shots. And Gordon made his shots. They played their role. They did what they were supposed to do. And they won.
Here's why I picked.
And the fact of the matter is they just did not do that again.
I'm just throwing it out there. Looking for something to be done to kind of really shake it up, to see if they can get something different, because what they've been doing so far hasn't been working, and neither has their game planning. So we can wrap it up on basketball talk. I just wanted to get that out there. If you want to check out my article, I go kind of in depth on it. Sportsmap.com. Check out some of the things and observations from last night as we go forward in this playoff series.
Did you see Trevor Bauer in the dugout? Did you see the picture of him?
I did not.
So there was a picture of him in the dugout in the first game of the series that the Astros won 4-1. And he had taken some sports tape and put it across the top of his back above his last name and wrote Tyler on it. So it said Tyler Bauer, obviously making fun of Alex Bregman's tweet to him when the whole they're using pine tar thing went down. I thought that was pretty funny. Kind of a good sport on his behalf to come out and do that. But thoughts on the series? I mean, I know, was it Lenny that said the Astros wouldn't score five runs total?
Oh, I reminded him of that. Yeah.
Did you?
I reminded him of that because Lenny, like early on, we got this show started. Lenny was my biggest critic. So I've had a couple of issues now where I've been able to hammer Lenny, and then he was I didn't say they weren't, you know, they were definitely not going to score more. I was like, okay, whatever. You basically indicated that they weren't going to score more than five runs in the series.
Yeah, he said five, and they ended up scoring four, and three. Mixed in, they won the opener and the rubber game, dropped the one in the middle. I mean, that's a quality pitching staff that they were able to put some, hits on the board.
And I'll answer it. A year ago, this team struggled mightily with the Cleveland Indians. You and I have said on this show, there was a team that they really didn't want to see come playoff time. Todd Callis even alluded to that in the broadcast over the weekend. The fact that they took two out of three, the fact they were in the third game as well, the fact that they were going up against the pitching staff that you're talking about, the fact that they got the bats to start rolling offensively a little bit more, all great signs for me. Huge win. Winning the series when they needed some series wins against some quality opponents, especially with the gauntlet of a schedule they have coming up, I think it was a great, great, great win for the Astros in the series.
Surprising for me, too, was the fact that the Indians' bullpen, worst ERA in the American League
Now, a lot of it has to do with Miller's back problems keeping him out.
But still, I mean, this was one of the best bullpens in the majors.
They pushed their closer to the point of the game that they did hold on and win to the brink, where he hadn't done anything but a one-inning save in the past, and they asked him to go almost two innings to get a save because their bullpen has been taxed so much. What about the – there's
speaking of saves.
Yeah, your boy.
Let's talk a moment.
Yeah, the frequency Kenneth is back on the right
Let's
frequency.
Let's talk a moment about
my guy. Do
we have
to talk
guy?
About it?
Yeah, because
Itchy and Edgy came in and got the job done, okay?
I looked at his – like, if you go back to April 22nd.
I don't want to look at your stats.
You look at that.
No.
Look how many – he had one game where he gave up four earned runs. Before that game, he had a 180 ERA. In one game, four earned runs against the Yankees, his ERA ballooned to 523. It's now back down to 360. But when you go all the way back a month from May 20th all the way back to April 22nd, one game where he gave up any runs, and it was the one game against the Yankees where the four. Otherwise, oh, you know, just eight saves. Now, what's that, six in a row, five in a row?
You putting him out there in a Game 7 situation with the tying run on base?
Right now, you kind of have to, don't you?
No, you don't have
Guess
to.
Guess who? Let's play a game. Who has more blown saves? Who has more blown saves, Brad Peacock or Ken Giles?
I'm not putting Brad Peacock out there
Brad
either.
Peacock has two blown saves. Guess how many Ken Giles has?
What does Devinsky have?
I don't know. I think zero.
Okay, well, that's what I'm putting
Guess
out
how
there.
Many Ken Giles has.
I don't care.
Zero.
I don't have confidence
no
in
blown
Ken
saves.
Giles. Now, let me ask you a
He's
question.
He's got no blown
Do you have
saves.
An analytical answer as to why Ken Giles has been on this streak? Because I do.
Okay.
Ever since he punched himself in the face, he's been a completely different relief pitcher.
Well, yeah,
maybe he knocked some sense into himself.
That was that four-run game against
the Yankees.
Yankees. And since then, he's gotten saves four through eight in a row.
Yeah.
Five of them. So.
You trust him, I don't. And in a game
– I get it.
I just – there's plenty of reasons why that we can go to. But, look, I'm happy he's starting to figure it out a little bit because the rest of the bullpen's starting to scare me too.
Are they?
The fact that, you know, I think some of these guys need more work than they're getting in the case of Rondon and Smith. But I think that Devo worries me a little bit sometimes with control. I still – Harris is Boy. A guy that I'm kind of
But they both did their job.
But I mean, they did their
Devo
job.
Devo gave up the
right?
run, but he got yep. that lefty in a crucial situation, which, you know, the Astros kind of fighting – with one arm tied behind their back when there's a lefty up there because they don't have a lefty specialist. You can't count Tony Sipp as a lefty
no.
specialist. So you bring in Devo.
Oh, he specializes in giving it up.
You bring in Devo to get those outs against lefties, and that's exactly what he did.
I'll say this, though. Mm-hmm. I think you might even have changed your tune.
Had,
instead of the flyout, if you'd have had first and second Encarnacion up and Giles comes in, that's a whole different story because I'm not sure A.J. Hinch makes that change if that's the case.
Well, what bothered me last night was I'm watching him against Encarnacion, and he starts off up in the zone, three straight 98-mile-an-hour fastballs up in the zone or two in a row. And I'm going, no, 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 no. We do not need to be pitching up in the zone, Kenneth Giles.
No.
Not to Encarnacion. I'm just going to need you to drop some sliders in the dirt. Keep that ball on the ground. Let's not be crazy. But he challenged him. I mean, he got the job done. You can't. At the end of the day, you can't argue with the results. It may be a little scary at times. He might put a guy on second every now and then. But overall, okay.
But you're pleased with the series overall from an Astros perspective.
Hey, listen, the bats seem to be coming around. I mean, I'm not gonna harp on the fact that it was because Bregman got moved up to the two hole. But let's face it, ever since that happened, similar to the catalyst that was George Springer in the leadoff spot, there's men on base, there's activity. And that's what you like seeing. And it does. And it also helps that you're getting some production from the bottom of the order now. Marwin Gonzalez has his average up. Gurriel's starting to hit a little bit as well. McCann with the big home run.
Yep.
So, yeah.
And we got plenty of talk about still with the Astros, too, because I want to get your guys' perception, interpretation, if you saw the Altuve double home run double.
Yeah.
That was crazy.
That was weird.
The couple in the foul ball on Friday night.
I missed that.
Could have been costly, but it wasn't. But we can talk about that as well. And also some guys being brought up now by the Astros, including Granato's got to be happy go-giddy, with some guys that are coming up to try and add some more bats to the lineup for the Astros as they get ready for the next series. Don't go anywhere. Much more to talk about and much more to get to here on The Usual Suspects.
Yeah, right now, though, I want to talk to you about one of my favorite spots in the city to eat. It's Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen. 1901 Taft in Midtown is where they're located. If you haven't been out there yet, first I need you to just go ahead and Ken Giles yourself. Punch yourself in the face for not going out there. The food is so good. It's delicious. And what I love about it, it's a fusion of both Southern Comfort and Indian food. So on one side of the menu, you've got that Southern Comfort food like chicken fried steak, burgers, sliders, Chicken fried chicken. They even have healthy options like grilled chicken salads and green beans, which I've gotten before when I was on my diet, and it's really good. All the food's delicious, made from scratch and made when you order it, so it's not sitting around under some heat lamp. The Indian food, all of that food, all the recipes are authentic Indian food passed down through Haas's family over the generations. And then he's taken them into the Cowboys and Indians Texan kitchen and perfected them right there for you. When they can, they locally source the food, like the beef. I know for the chicken fried steak, as a matter of fact, that is locally sourced beef, and it's damn good. And also, one of our show favorites, the non-quesadillas, they're still running that special. So if you want to get out there and try those quesadillas, whether it be for an appetizer, it's pretty big, so you could get it for a meal too. You can save 20% on those. Just mention ESPN 97.5 or the usual suspects, and you'll save 20% off that. You can have them delivered. DoorDash, Uber Eats, and Grubhub will all deliver Cowboys and Indians to your door. If you want to go check out a game, whether it be the Astros or the Rockets, you can do so and get your drink on at their full-service bar. 1901 Taft in Midtown, CNI 713 on Facebook. Take your taste buds on a delicious journey around the world. It's Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen. There's nothing like it.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from Wildcat Golf Club on Almeda, this is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back on the big show. It's The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5. Just a skosh before hour number two is in the rearview mirror as we continue to roll on, looking at the future so bright in the big windshield. Plenty to still talk about. It's Barry and Joel from the Hit King Baseball Academy golf tournament out at Wildcat. Nick holding down the fort at the headquarters at Gal Media. We were talking Astros, and the Astros make another call up. In case you missed it, J.D. Davis on his way up, who has been striping the ball all through the minor leagues,
on
killing
fire. Yeah.
The rumor was Tucker might get a sniff, but they have yet to pull the trigger on that, so Granato's going to have to temper his excitement. But at the same time, look, they're doing things right now just to see what they can do with the bottom of the lineup. And of course, now the offense is hitting better, too. But Tony Kemp, for as much as I haven't been a big Tony Kemp fan, because I really don't think there's a lot of pop in that bat. I wasn't sold on him as being a hitter. Since he's been called up this time, he's making the most of it, hitting the ball very, very well, getting it, you know, averaging about a hit a game since he's been in the lineup. That's been great to see. We'll touch on the fact that Friday night he had an extra base hit that should have driven in two. Drove in one, but still he got the second run in. But that's big as well. And now it also kind of buys you some more time with Tucker, because before these guys started to hit a little bit at the bottom of the lineup, you started to worry about the fact that what were their options to try and get better? They sent Marisdick down. They bring up Kemp. Kemp's been decent since he's been called up. Now you give another guy a chance. In the way that J.D. Davis has been hitting the ball in the minor league, he has to get that opportunity. Maybe Tucker's next, maybe he's not. But that coupled with what you mentioned, McCann's hitting the ball. Gattis is starting to warm up. Things are starting to pop at the bottom of the lineup. That helps you in terms of run production, which has been such a big, big point of contention for this team.
Yep. And you said it all. What do you want me to say?
No.
Tony Kemp is a guy that I think, you know, he's a 225 hitter for his life, over his couple of years of his career, so I don't think you expect a lot out of him. But he's also maybe one of those guys, he's still young enough where at 26 he could still be figuring it out. And, you know, if he could give you 275, 280 while he's up here and steal some bases and provide some deep, he had a hell of a catch in the game.
Yes. Couple of them.
Yeah, I mean, he can play some left field for you. So
it center field on Saturday went diving and caught one.
Yeah, it wouldn't be terrible if he proves to be a valuable bench player, role player for this team. Because the other thing that you like about him is he can play the outfield, but if you do have a problem at second base with Altuve or he needs some extended rest or, God forbid, he gets injured, Tony Kemp is a guy that if he can, like I said, if he can hit 280 and steal some bases. And
defensively, you know, he's Marwin-esque. You can kind of Swiss Army knife and move him around. The most interesting thing of everything in all the moves was you understand Marisnik being sent down and you understand Tony Kemp being sent brought up. But then you get the fact that you want J.D. Davis on the big club, but I didn't know what they were going to do for a roster move. And now are you buying the fact that our man Derek Fisher has a little bit of an illness they're trying to pinpoint and he's going to be on the DL while he
figures it out?
Figures it out.
Gastrointestinal discomfort. So he's basically same thing you have.
He's
today.
Got gas.
Same thing you have.
Yeah,
today.
He's got gas.
Nick, I tell you, I told him. I said, bro, you got to stop.
And I don't know what you're talking about, but I'm talking about from the standpoint.
Nick, it's horrible, bro. He's killing me over here.
I talked to members of the media, by the way, that said that they had watched and interviewed Kyle.
You see how he's doing,
Derek Fisher, in the last couple days. They said there were no signs of him losing any weight.
No. I think it's just. I'm not going to speculate, but it wouldn't be unheard of in baseball.
Used to be plantar fasciitis. Now it's gastrointestinal issues.
Yeah, He's got bubble guts. I've never seen anybody have to sit out 10 days with bubble guts.
So we mentioned Tony Kemp. Did you see I keep referring to this because big time clutch moment in the game Friday night. He laces the ball down the right field line. Fair ball, scoring one, should score two, couple down the right field line. Husband reaches out over the railing, gloves it. Much to her dismay, Tony Kemp gets a double instead of a possible triple, only one ribby instead of two. Could be critical that the Astros thought they might need that extra run. And then you look at the wife's face, and she's staring right at him going, that was a fair ball. What are you doing? They eventually kick the husband out. She stays. And
wow,
then
she stays.
She stays.
That's a horrible person. That would be like if the lights went out and you left your spouse. Never mind.
Yeah, don't do that.
No.
But then the funny thing that I found was even more entertaining was after the game, I was looking at Twitter, and I see that she actually tweets to Tony Kemp an apology.
Nice.
And basically said, I want to explain what was going on. My husband is a big baseball fan, but my five-year-old daughter was with us. He was trying to shell peanuts for her so that, you know, she could enjoy some peanuts while watching the game. In the process, he looked up. The ball was coming his way. It's not something that he wants to do. He's proud of. Her name was Valerie Domini, and she said, well, sorry, Astros. My husband did not see Kemp's hit since he was shelling peanuts for our five-year-old daughter at her first ever game. When he looked over the wall, it was foul. He wanted to get the ball for his baby. I'm not a jerk wife. And he does know baseball. And Tony
kind of are a jerk wife if he left and you stayed.
Tony Kemp very much played the game the right way. Says, next game, y'all come find me. I'll sign something for you guys. Tell him just be happy we won. # no hard feelings.
Nice.
So it was a very cool and happy ending to that story.
I do that a lot. I tell people, come by, I'll sign something for you. It's hell being famous, Joel.
By the way, Valerie responded to Tony Kemp after that and said, we're sorry for robbing you of another RBI, what would have been a triple because you're fast AF, which I liked. My husband thought it was foul. And the forgiveness factor from the Astros, but even A.J. Hinch was out there going, fans, we love you, but can
never
you
do
just
that.
Don't
yeah,
do that
pay
again.
Attention. Somebody texted and said, Tony Kemp replacing Mariznick gives them the production at the bottom of the lineup that Bregman was moved down to provide. I have news for you.
Oh, boy, that's a can of worms.
You don't move anyone down in a lineup to provide production. That's just not a thing you do.
Right.
Okay.
So I guess we still should touch on this Altuve thing, too, because the home run was a double.
That was weird.
The double was a home run. It's crazy, and the ruling I still don't know that I completely agree with, but see if you guys got any perspective
also,
on that as well.
Also.
Yes.
Can we talk about all these commercials apologizing for companies messing up?
Sure. Okay. We can talk about anything on this show within reason, and sometimes you push those envelopes. We will continue to roll on with the final hour of the big show. Don't go anywhere. It's the usual suspects. It's ESPN 97.5.
This is DeAndre Hopkins, wide receiver for the Houston Texans, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.